Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the show. It's great to be back on here with John Heath for our latest off-season edition of the Broncos Wire podcast. We have a lot to catch up on this week, and we're excited to have you with us. Ryan O'Leary here playing host. Just a quick note to you, the listener, that leading up to the draft and beyond, the best way to keep up with our latest content is to subscribe to the pod on your favorite platform. We always appreciate your support of our show, which is about to hit year five in August, which I think is kind of great, but we got a locked and loaded offseason to get through first. I mentioned John Heath. He's the managing editor of USA Today's Broncos Wire. Hi, John. How you feeling about your football team here as we speak on, what is it, March 20th?
Hey, Ryan. I'm doing pretty well. I hope you're doing well as well. The Broncos are just kind of so-so, just kind of dragging along. After this offseason, and I say this early before the draft and before we see what happens with the quarterback situation, but after the moves they've made that so far this offseason, I'm kind of feeling just pessimistic, I guess, not optimistic. I just think it's pretty obvious they're about to go into a rebuilding year, and I think they are staged pretty well to really truly get back on track in 2025. They should have a lot of cap space. They should have all their draft picks unless they do some crazy trade. But I think next year is the year that Broncos fans will get their hopes up again. This year, I think a lot of fans are just accepting that this is looking like it's going to be a rebuilding year.
Yep, we got to see what they're going to do at the draft. We got to see what they're going to do at quarterback, right? As we speak, the quarterback room is Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci. John, from our previous episodes on the show, you know how I feel about that quarterback room so far. We'll get to that, but obviously the quarterback room no longer includes Russell Wilson, and it's officially over. He is now in Pittsburgh, where he's expected to be the starter over for the Steelers. That's interesting, huh? The Steelers want Russell Wilson as their starter, but the Broncos don't. That's how much Sean Payton can't stand that man. He wants him out. We're going to get rid of him. We're going to eat the record amount of salary, you know, the real cash and cap dollars that's going to take for Russell Wilson to get off the books for Denver. They're going to be doing that over the next couple of years. It's officially over. Russell Wilson's gone. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, like you said, it was no surprise at all. We could see it coming. And as you said, he did a league minimum deal with the Steelers. So now they basically get a starting quarterback for free. The Broncos are paying almost $38 million of Wilson's salary to not play for them. The Steelers are only paying him, you know, just a little bit more than $1 million this season. And the Steelers are going to come to Denver and play against the Broncos this season. So that is definitely going to be a primetime game. You can already know that before NFL schedule comes out.
No doubt.
The Broncos are going to be paying whoever they start, and they're going to be paying, assuming Wilson is starting for the Steelers, that whenever that game is. You know, if it's early in the season, that would be pretty cool. That when the Broncos signed Wilson right away in week one, they played the Seahawks on Monday Night Football. So maybe the NFL would do something like that again this season. But yeah, like you said, it's something that we saw coming, and I think it's just – Wilson definitely showed improvement under Sean Payton, but I think at the end of the day, he just is not the kind of quarterback that Sean Payton wants to build his offense around. And you could not stick with Wilson for just this season. It had to be a two-year commitment or a no-year commitment because of the way his contract was. If they keep him this year, they're locked in for next year too, basically. So they're just ripping the Band-Aid off now, taking $53 million in dead money this season, the most ever in NFL history for one player. They're just ripping off the Band-Aid. And like I said, I think they're just accepting, you know, we're going to have a rebuilding year in 2024, but we're staged to, in 2025, have a bunch of cap space and bounce back. And if they had kept Wilson for one more year, they wouldn't be able to do that in 2025 because they'd be in the same scenario because of his contract. So they're just ripping the Band-Aid off. The Steelers are getting a nice bargain because of it. And honestly, I think he might pan out with the Steelers. I think that, you know, Mike Tomlin his defense is always, you know, ready to play. They've got a couple good running backs. They have a couple decent receivers. They have a decent tight end. Like, I think they can play defense and run the ball, kind of like the Seahawks did for a couple years. And maybe towards the end, Wilson didn't really like that. Like, he really wanted to cook. But the Seahawks, they did have a winning formula. They reached two Super Bowls, then they won a Super Bowl with a great defense, a run game, and Wilson, you know, being the quarterback. So I think the Steelers are going to be able to compete for a playoff spot this year. And as Bronco fans watch that, it's probably going to be frustrating if Wilson and the Steelers are winning ugly football like the Steelers seemingly manage to do every year. And meanwhile, if the Broncos are still stuck in football purgatory with if it's Jarrett Stidham under, oh my goodness, like I can't even imagine. So yeah, I think Broncos fans are going to be probably frustrated watching Wilson probably be a capable quarterback with the Steelers this season. But I think it's just, he wasn't going to work with Sean Payton. So they're just moving on. And now, you know, we're still waiting to see who the replacement is. What is the quarterback plan in 2024? It's still to be determined. Like you said, right now it's Stidham and Ben DiNucci. And as much as I love Ben DiNucci, like it's hard to imagine it, not even him being the starter. It's hard to imagine him being the number two in week one. So I still think there's something coming for the Broncos. It's just a matter of what that is.
That's the question, because they decided not to address it in free agency, right? So we now have to look forward to the draft, I guess, and we'll get into that. I have a few things on Wilson, including one thing I want to throw at you, John, and get your reaction to. I know that Broncos country is not going to miss Wilson, the large part of it, right? I get that. He did not perform like a player who was, you know, he was crafting a Hall of Fame resume in Seattle, right? He probably should have won two Super Bowls. They're up by 10 points in like the fourth quarter or something against the Patriots. But I look at this whole situation, like now that we can kind of sit back, it's over. We can kind of peel it back and look at the whole thing. Like, this was a tough situation for any quarterback to come into, right? First of all, you make the deal for Wilson, you pair him with Bozo the Clown, Nathaniel Hackett, as the head coach, right? I mean, come on. Like, literally, the first coach in offense that Russell Wilson transitions to after Seattle, which is all he had known, was Nathaniel Hackett. So, like, was Wilson terrible that season? John, of course. And was a big chunk of that on him? Yes, yes. Russell Wilson was not good enough, which is why he drew the ire of the fan base, and they're glad he's gone. And I respect that opinion and get it. But, like, Hackett was fired before his first season as a head coach was even over. That is like, how dysfunctional is that? So that's how bad that hire was. So year one, when Wilson's transitioning to a new team, new offense, new teammates, new person, everything, he's got to deal with Hackett and that whole thing. So everyone gets fired and they trade for Sean Payton, John. And here's why I want to bring you in. Like, all we heard from like the analysts and a lot of people from Broncos country, like we even talked about it, Sean Payton was supposed to fix Wilson, right? That was the whole thing. Like, the Broncos were tied to Wilson with all, you know, financially, as they're, like you said, ripping the Band-Aid off now. But at the time, the hope was, yeah, year one was a disaster, but Sean Payton is the quarterback guru. He's going to fix Wilson. Sean Payton was supposed to save us from Wilson's poor first season and that monster extension that was about to kick in. What happened, John? Because Sean Payton came in and he didn't fix Wilson. Like you said, couldn't stand the guy and benched him for Jarrett Stidham at the end of the year. So all but playing his hand that it was over and they were going to move on, right? We all knew that. As soon as they benched Russell Wilson after that Patriots game last year, we knew it was over. Sean Payton was supposed to fix this thing. It didn't work out.
Yeah, I think like the hope was, okay, we have Wilson right now. Sean Payton, we know, is our long-term coach. If he can fix Wilson, if he can make it work with Wilson, great. Then we'll just do with that. But if he can't, then we'll give Wilson this one-year trial. We'll move on from Wilson, and then we'll trust Sean Payton to, you know, to find us our franchise quarterback. Like you said, I and other people expected that Payton could come in and get the best out of Wilson. And to an extent, he kind of did. Like, if you look at the numbers, he did fix Russell Wilson from 22 to 23. Like, his numbers were just night and day. His passing efficiency, his passing touchdowns, his interceptions, they were all way, way better under Payton. And I think that's in part because Payton kind of protected him and put him in this offense to try to kind of get the best out of him. And but even with the numbers being better, like the eye test could tell you, like, okay, this isn't a perfect fit. Like Russell Wilson, he's still a capable quarterback in the NFL, but clearly he's not exactly what Sean Payton wants, and he has some deficiencies in his game that crop up and are super annoying. And I think for someone like Sean Payton, it just probably drove him a little bit crazy. And there was a whole big thing last year with that injury guarantee. If he got hurt, it locked in the next year's salary. And I think while the Broncos had that little bit of a winning streak and while they were still in contention for the playoffs, Sean Payton is just like, okay, we're winning right now. We have a shot for the playoffs. I'm not going to, you know, mess up. I'm not going to rock the boat. And then as soon as they're basically out of playoff contention, it's like, okay, Wilson is not my long-term guy. If he gets hurt, we're locked into his contract, so we're just benching him. And like I say this, I'm putting words in their mouth because to me it seems pretty obvious that was the scenario. The Broncos have denied that it had anything to do with his contract and claimed it was just a football decision. But I don't need to go through beating that horse anymore because we have in past podcasts and many other outlets have as well. But I think ideally it was, if Payton can turn Wilson around, great. And we've got this 1 year trial. If he doesn't, we'll just move on. We've still got Sean Payton, who we think is a very good coach, a good quarterback guru, and we'll get the right QB and go from there. And that's where we are right now. And the question is, who is that right QB? We're still looking for him. And like you said, in free agency, guys just flew off the board. Like apparently they had some interest in Kirk Cousins, which is hilarious, but they just knew they couldn't afford him. And Kirk Cousins at this point in his career, doesn't make sense for him to go to a rebuilding team. Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know if they bounced, if they, you know, stiffed him out at all. Baker Mayfield wanted to stay with the Bucs. He did. Sam Darnold, the Broncos did show interest in, but the Vikings beat him to him. Jameis Winston, I thought he might have been a candidate because he won games with Peyton and the Saints, but, you know, he didn't sign with Denver either. And so now it's really down to a list that is headlined by Ryan Tannehill. And, you know, the Broncos, they might still sign someone like a Ryan Tannehill. They might still bring in a veteran, but that's not going to excite anyone. And even if Tannehill said, you know, just completely hypothetical, say they signed him, even if he is the week one starter, he's still not that franchise quarterback, that long-term solution. You know, we still need, you know, who is going to be the Sean Payton quarterback for the Broncos going forward for ideally the next 5-10 years. Like maybe Payton's not here for 10 years, but like you want this quarterback for a decade plus. And so that's something they're going to have to adjust in the draft or just kick the can down the road and try to get a rookie next year. But I don't want to put it off. You know, I want to go get that franchise prospect now. Whoever Sean Payton is convinced of, I say go get him. And like people always say, well, Sean Payton, he liked having a veteran quarterback. He'd never really had a rookie besides, you know, one little time with the Saints. And I was like, yeah, but in part, he didn't need to. And two, before he was a head coach, he was a quarterback's coach for a long time. So yes, as a head coach with the Saints, he had an established Drew Brees for a long time, but that doesn't mean he never worked with young quarterbacks. He never worked with rookie quarterbacks like he has in his career. Just because he had a veteran for a long time, I don't think that means he can't mentor a rookie and that he won't, you know, go after rookie. Like just a couple years ago, well, more than a couple years ago, it was like 2017, the Saints were going to draft Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were down below them. It was coming up to the Saints pick. The Saints were going to draft Patrick Mahomes and then the Chiefs traded above them and got Mahomes. So it's not like Sean Payton is opposed to drafting a quarterback, opposed to, you know, having a rookie and coaching them up. So yeah, I went off on a little tangent there. But, you know, quarterback is the position that still has to be addressed in Denver. And now as we're getting towards the end of free agency and we're getting closer to April, you know, all attention is turning to what the Broncos are going to do there in the draft.
Yeah. And for all the quarterbacks you mentioned, the free agent guys, Kirk Cousins, Garoppolo, Mayfield, Darnold, Jameis. I mean, the best quarterback out of that group, I think, would be Cousins. Would probably give you the best chance to win, but he's 35. Isn't he 35 coming off a Achilles. Yep. You know what I mean? So, yep. And you got $100 million from Atlanta. So it's like, go ahead, Falcons. Like you deal with that. We're good. So Justin Fields, I guess, was an option. Sam Howell, if you wanted to go the trade route, could have been an option. They opted not to do that. Fine. But you mentioned in your commentary there, John, they either have to draft the quarterback or kick the can down the road. We can't kick the can down the road. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like for the Broncos to basically tell the fan base, we're going to roll into 2024 with Jarrett Stidham and Ben DiNucci as our quarterbacks, and we'll figure it out next year with no succession plan. If that's what they do, I mean, we have to hammer them for that, right? That's just, you can't do that. You know, I'm anti-tank anyway, but you're basically saying we have no ceiling. We're not going to win this year. We're waving the white flag before the season even starts. That's not how you operate in the NFL. That's not how you want your organization to operate. I would be stunned if they don't address quarterback, and it's probably going to have to be now based on what we saw in free agency, John, right? It's going to have to be in the draft. They're going to have to do it in the draft. Now, we're picking number 12 overall. This is,
which is a problem.
Yeah, that's not great, especially when the top three quarterbacks are supposed to be off the board, 1, 2, 3, right? So for me, it really comes down to a couple names. I know the big name that's being attached to Denver right now is J.J. McCarthy. Feels like that would require a trade up if you're believing what a lot of people are prognosticating, although nobody knows what the hell they're talking about, John, when it comes to the draft, really. But trading up for J.J. McCarthy, it's definitely an option. Me personally, like, I don't want to get crazy. Like, I don't want to try to go up to number 5 or 6, like Chargers, Giants, try to get up there to trade for J.J. McCarthy. I don't think he's a slam dunk prospect. You know what I mean? Like, he's intriguing. Won a national championship, won a lot of games with Michigan. I get it. But like, to go up that far and give up what you'd have to give up to get up to like the top 5 scares the crap out of me. One team that I think makes a little bit more sense would be the Bears. Now, they pick, obviously, number 1 overall. That's Carolina's pick. They also pick number 9. That's their own pick. And that is, John, their second of 4 picks total in this whole draft. The Bears only have 4 picks total. So the Bears are a team that I think would be looking to trade down to accumulate more draft capital. I think that's definitely, that would fit Ryan Poles' MO. So if you're high on J.J. McCarthy, and he's still there at number 9 when the Bears are picking, I could fathom the Broncos trying to trade up 3 spots to get to number 9. Maybe that wouldn't be the craziest haul of picks, right, to go up there and get McCarthy. But let's start there. How do you feel about a trade-up for J.J. McCarthy? You in or out on that?
If, like, Sean Payton identified him as his guy and he loves him, I'm fine with it. Like, I'm not a quarterback guru. Like, I'm going to trust Sean Payton's judgment, the Broncos' judgment. Like, if they love a quarterback enough to go get him, I'm going to say, yeah, go for it. You know, you got to get the quarterback situation sorted out. That specific proposal you have there with the Bears, like, I would be perfectly fine with that. I just have a feeling it's not going to be realistic because the Minnesota Vikings, now they have 2 first round picks. They're already picking right above the Broncos, and now they've got another first round pick later in the 20s in the draft. And I'm just afraid that the Vikings now are positioning themselves, you know, assuming Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, assuming those guys go 1, 2, 3, like you said, I think J.J. McCarthy is next. And I'm guessing that the Vikings are going to move up to make sure they get him. And they're moving up to make sure that a team like the Broncos or someone else doesn't jump up. And that's why I think, you know, they'd have to move up to 4 or 5 or something like that, because I think there's going to be a little bit of a bidding war. And like you're saying, you know, is J.J. McCarthy really worth it? Like, again, I'm not a quarterback guru. I don't know. But if the Broncos think that he is, then, you know, I say, sure, go for it. And there's been so much smoke linking the Broncos to J.J. McCarthy. Like, it's so significant that it makes me think it's either 2 options. Either 1, it's real and the Broncos really truly do like J.J. McCarthy, or 2, the Broncos want everyone to know that they really like J.J. McCarthy, and in reality they're just putting that out there for some kind of smokescreen to make the Vikings move up and someone else fall to Denver. I don't know. I think it's either got to be real or the Broncos want people to think it's real. I don't think it's just people making stuff up out of thin air. I think it's coming from, you know, a real team perspective. It's just a matter of, Is that how they genuinely feel, or is that just what they want people to feel? So that's what they're telling everyone. But it really seems like there is something there with McCarthy. And, you know, like you said, no one on the outside really truly knows anything, but like people do talk to teams and talk to representatives, and like teams talk to prospects and prospects agents and stuff. So stuff does start to get around a little bit, and there is a little bit of a feel. And it really feels like J.J. McCarthy is going to be a top four quarterback. Some people even say he's going to be the third quarterback off the board. I don't know if I believe that, but it definitely seems like he's definitely going to be top four. And if like it's top four and then a drop off, I think the Broncos, you have to go get one of those top four. Like, I don't want to settle for a drop off. Like, if it's 1, 2, 3 and then a gap to who the fifth and the sixth best quarterbacks are, I don't want to sit at 12 and wait. Like, if they do love JJ McCarthy, I say go get him.
Yeah, it would scare me going up to say you want to go up to the Patriots spot, right? Even if it's Jaden Daniels or Drake May, that would still scare the crap out of me, moving up there, trading what, number 12 and two future first round picks and more to get up, you know what I mean? Like, whatever that would take to get all the way up there, like that would just scare the crap out of me. I was kind of facilitating when I dropped this question, John. I don't even want to go up to number 9 with Chicago. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel good enough about any of these quarterbacks. They all scare the hell out of me. They all seem imperfect.
Ryan, you're telling me you don't want to kick the can down the road, but you also don't feel any, you don't feel good enough about any of the top four quarterbacks.
Oh, I have a solution for you. Yeah, I have a solution. Okay, I was getting there, John. Solution. Yeah, here's what I want to do. I don't want to, I feel like we've done the whole trading the future draft capital to go up and get a quarterback who ends up burning us thing. Like, haven't we done that enough in Denver? I'm kind of over that. Like, I don't trust JJ McCarthy as far as I can throw him. You know what I mean? Like, I'm that guy. For me, and you haven't mentioned this name, so I'm going to throw it out there. What's wrong with Michael Penix? I know, like, people might scoff at that and say, oh, he's not a first round pick. Again, none of us have any freaking clue how good any of these guys are going to be in the NFL. Why is Michael Penix such a gap? Why is there such a gap between him and JJ McCarthy? They're in the same tier for me. I like Michael Penix. The guy's got a cannon. Did you see the national semifinal game against Texas, John? Are you a college football fan? If not, people should, you know, check that thing out on YouTube. The dude was throwing into windows that college quarterbacks have no business throwing into. And I know it didn't look great in the national championship game, but there was no chance he was going to be able to replicate that, because his game in the semis was freaking out of this world. He looked great. He was under pressure for a lot of those throws. He's got some size. I think he's a little over 6'2". Accuracy, deep ball is elite. His style would fit with Cortland Sutton. Like, I like Michael Penix. I like him. Like, why can't we take him? Why can't we just stay pat at number 12? Now, maybe we could go after him in the second round, but we don't have a second round pick. That's part of the problem here, right? Part of the problem with trading up is that the Broncos, yeah, they have 8 picks in the draft, but six of those are on day 3. 6 of them. They only pick 12 and number 76 in the top 100. So that hurts your opportunity to move up. I think, like you said, that means you have to trade 2025 picks and good ones to do that. So for me personally, like, McCarthy, sure, he's fine. I like him. He seemed pretty good with Michigan, right? Won the national title. That was great. But, like, how much better is he than Michael Penix? I don't know. I was watching those two at the combine, and it looks like Penix throws a better ball. So why can't we just take Michael Penix at number 12? Like, what's wrong with that strategy? That's what I would do. That's what I'm rooting for. It probably won't happen, John, because Mel Kiper Jr. has him as a second-round pick or whatever. You know what I mean? But I think that's what I would do if I was the Broncos, because I don't have a second-round pick, and I do not want to try to go up there and trade all of that future draft capital to take a flyer on JJ McCarthy. I'd rather just take a flyer on Penix.
Yeah, I like Penix. I think he's a good quarterback and a fun quarterback. I think the biggest drawback for him is the injury history. And I assume that's a very big reason why, you know, seemingly teams are lower on him than a lot of these other prospects, and why the draft pundits are lower on him, because he had a couple significant knee injuries and a couple significant shoulder injuries. And I think that's just, like, it's such a big risk when it happened two times to your knee and 2 times to your shoulder in college. Like, the chances of it happening again, and once you're in the NFL, getting hit even more, getting hit even harder, like Mel Kiper, like you said, if people like that are right, the Broncos can trade down from 12 to like the mid 20s or early 20s, whatever, get, say, like a second round pick, still draft Penix there if the draft pundits are right. Like, if really Penix is not going to go off the board early, the Broncos can trade down, get more draft capital, still get Penix, and then you get a second round pick, which they currently don't have. So instead of taking Penix at 12, I'd rather trade down. But that's just because that's me buying into believing what his draft stock is.
Yep.
I just feel like that. And like, I get where you're saying, like, who cares about overdrafting? You've got to get a quarterback. But to me, if it's like the fifth or sixth quarterback and you're like, quote, settling for a quarterback, I'd rather stock up on some draft picks and still settle on that quarterback if that's what you're going to end up doing. But I think it's interesting that you have that perspective, Ryan, because you're so like, you don't want to kick the can down the road. You like acknowledge how important it is for them to get the quarterback. But then at the same time, you're like, I don't want to trade up for one of the top guys, just settle for who's left at 12. Like, I don't think they can afford to do that. Like, you have to get QB right. And to, you know, increase your chances of getting it right, I don't think waiting till 12 is good enough, because who knows if all four or two of the four, one of the four, like we don't know how many of them are going to pan out. But I think there is a 1, 2, 3, 4 and then a gap of quarterbacks in this year's draft. So I really want to get one of the top four. And like, obviously it's not ideal to trade up for someone like JJ McCarthy, like from my perspective. But like I said, if Sean Payton is convinced, like, he's a great pocket passer, he's a great processor, like, he knows exactly what I want him to do and he can execute it perfectly. Like, if he thinks he's a little mini Drew Brees, Drew Brees is like Hall of Famer, one of the greatest of all time, not say he's going to become him, but like, if he sees like in him what he wants in a quarterback, I say do what it takes to go get him. I don't want to sit at 12 and just get what's left at quarterback and just wait for it to fall to them.
No, and I totally get that. And, you know, what I'm saying is they need to come out of this draft with a quarterback, John. So, yeah, whatever that means. If Penix is your guy or Bo Nix, which I think we're both hoping it's not Nix. I'm not as high on him. But, you know, if you could trade back and do that thing and that's your guy, fine. And if you trade up, fine. But we're playing the lottery here. We're playing the lottery. For every C.J. Stroud, there's a Zach Wilson. Right, that Mel Kiper and Dan Orlovsky are telling me how great they are. You know what I mean? And then we go up and get that guy, and when he sucks, we are screwed because we traded future first round picks for the guy, and now we're picking at the top of the draft. Oh no, we're not, because so and so is picking there in our place. You know what I mean? So that's why it scares the crap out of me to trade a future first or multiple future first to get all the way up there. You know, to your point, picking at number 12 is not ideal. It's not ideal. How dare the Broncos go on that run at the end of the year, John? That was just their fault for doing that. It was their fault. No, we all enjoyed the hell out of that. That's good. That was good. I'm glad they did that run. It was fun. But yeah, I just, you know, we're playing the lottery. I would rather play with this particular draft. I don't trust all the draft nicks that are telling us, oh, this guy's a shoo-in, and it's, you know, it was Caleb Williams, and then it was, you know, Jaden Daniels is definitely the number two guy. Then it was like, no, Drake May is the number two guy. And nobody freaking knows, John. It's not consistent. It bounces all over the place. We'll finally, I think, get to like get a better feel for it when we see what the Broncos are doing. Because to your point, it's lying season, especially with the Broncos. You get anyone talking to the Broncos trying to glean any like intel on, like, do you think the Broncos are telling the truth? They never do. The Broncos never tell the truth about anything, especially Sean Payton. So nobody knows what the Broncos are thinking. You know, JJ McCarthy, he might be a smokescreen. That definitely might be the case. But yeah, I mean, until we find out who they're meeting with, the top 30 visits, the pro day stuff, you get Zoom interviews with these kids as well, right? Before the draft, like, we'll really start to see who they're really into and talking to, right? But I mean, at the end of the day, I just need them to draft a quarterback. If they move up, fine. If they stay at 12, fine. If they move back, fine. They need to come out of this draft with a quarterback, John. If they don't, that the message that the Broncos are sending to their fans and, you know, and just going forward for 2024 is like almost unforgivable to me. You have to have some type of plan, some type of succession plan in place at least. We cannot go into 2024 with Jarrett Stidham as the only like halfway decent quarterback. I struggle to say halfway decent quarterback on the roster. We cannot do that for our franchise and to our fan base in 2024. So as long as they come up with some type of plan, John, and try to see if it works, I'm in for it. I'm in, and we'll see what Sean Payton can do. I would rather that not involve trading a million future draft picks, if that makes sense. That's just kind of where I'm at. Yeah. I know it is. Maybe I'm contradicting myself a little bit because I don't want to kick the can down the road. I just want that succession plan in place, if that makes any sense.
No, I get it. And like moving up is so scary because it's so risky. And we've seen examples of like the 49ers trading 3 first round picks for Trey Lance. And like
who's
the
in 49ers, Dallas.
They moved exactly. They moved from 12 to 3, I think it was. It was 12 to 3 or 12 to 4, one of those. And it cost 3 first round picks and a fourth round pick. And maybe they got a little bit of a bad deal and the Broncos could get something a little bit better than that. Or maybe the Broncos, like, I would hate to do this, but if you got to get a franchise quarterback, maybe the Broncos could include Pat Surtain and he counts at least for a very high first round pick in trade negotiations. In my mind, you know, I'm biased, but I think Pat Surtain would really sweeten any trade package. And obviously it'd be terrible to lose him. But like you said, you got to get a franchise quarterback and that would make it a little bit less, fewer first round picks you have to give up if they did move up. But I get it's scary to move up. Like if you do that, if you trade a bunch of picks and go up to go get one of those top 4 guys, you have to get it right. And the thing is, there's no guarantee you're going to get it right because there's so many missed quarterback prospects that don't turn out in the NFL. So I get it. I get being hesitant to give up picks for someone like JJ McCarthy, who we're not sure about any of it. Like, I feel like Caleb Williams, and he's still like, it's still possible that he could bust. But in my mind, I think Caleb Williams is the only one that I'd be like, yeah, you trade the farm to go get him. If you even could, like, I don't think the Bears would even do it. But if you could trade a bunch of picks to go get Caleb Williams, that's the one guy that I'd be like, yeah, I'm not really worried about it. Like, there's always the possibility a guy could bust, but like, he's the one that I'd be like, yeah, I think they're, you know, have a pretty sure thing here. Like Drake May and Jaden Daniels, like they both seem like very good quarterbacks, but I really don't know. Like, I don't know how they're going to turn out. JJ McCarthy too. Like you said, like, I know there's a lot of hype about him, and even in NFL circles, like teams seem to be really enamored with him, but like, I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be worth trading a bunch of picks to get him. So I see where you're coming from, and I understand that like it's risky, and I get that your overall point is they have to get a quarterback, whether that's staying put, moving down, moving it, whatever. You just want them to have a plan. I get that. I just am reiterating one more time, and then I'll let it go. I just think they have to go up and get their guy. I don't think they can afford to sit and wait for him because I don't think one of the best ones is going to fall to them. And I don't want to settle for the 5th or 6th best quarterback in the draft. Like whoever their guy is, like assuming Caleb Williams is not an option, whoever they fall in love with, I give Sean Payton and George Payton my blessing to trade a bunch of picks to go get him. Cause I just want to have the right guy. And I think if you get one of those top guys, you really increase your chances of getting the right one.
Well, I trust your judgment, John. You are a very smart guy. And if I was as smart as you, I would have used that San Francisco example in my own rant, you know, my own take, because that's amazing. They went from literally from number 12, like you said, right, to number 3 and traded all those future draft picks, first round picks and more for Trey Lance. And they end up unloading to the Dallas Cowboys for a 4th round pick last year. That's it. Meanwhile, the kid they picked in the 7th round is now their starting quarterback. Right? That is just like, that illustrates my point right there. It's just like, we are playing the freaking lottery. Lottery.
What it tells me, Ryan, is go up and get JJ McCarthy, but then also draft Michael Pratt later in case he turns into Trey Lance. You've got Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I forgot about Michael Pratt. I like him too. That I'd be fine with that too. You need to come out of this draft with a quarterback that Sean Payton's working with behind the scenes. And if Jared Stidham is starting week one, John, I will be pissed and I will rip the Broncos. But if there's a rookie behind him being groomed to potentially take over at some point, if not at all in 2024, as long as there's some type of plan there, I will, you know, I will go easy on them, I guess. But you brought up Surtain, right? The only problem with, you know, putting Surtain in some type of trade offer, John, is that we already lost Justin Simmons. And Jerry Jeudy is now a Cleveland Brown, which we could get into with the contract he got. Holy crap, Cleveland. Wow. But yeah, Justin Simmons, Jerry Jeudy, Josie Jewell. I mean, even Lloyd Cushenberry, the center. I mean, usually I don't pay too much attention to interior linemen, their movement in free agency, John, but he got a huge contract. It's like, wow, Lloyd, good for you. It's like, man, there's been an exodus here. It's not only Russell Wilson, right, John? There has been an exodus of the Denver Broncos. You add a Patrick Surtain's name in there too. And going back to my little rant about Wilson, how the fans might be happy to see him go, but what kind of situation did the Broncos put Wilson in? Nathaniel Hackett in year one, and then year two, he's with Sean Payton, who really doesn't want him anyway. And so if you don't have a good situation for your quarterback you're bringing in, how much are you really going to win? And if your roster is having a great exodus and all your best players are leaving, or some of your best veterans are leaving, what kind of situation are you putting a rookie quarterback in, right? So how are you feeling about the Broncos and free agency? Really no big moves because they're paying a certain quarterback to go play in Pittsburgh, but a lot of big names leaving, John. What do you think?
Yeah, like I said about Pat Surtain, like I definitely would not want to involve him.
Hypothetical.
I hope that they don't. I was just saying, like, if they had to go get a quarterback and that made it easier and it was one way they could, like, maybe he could be part of it. Like, I hope they don't. And I think Surtain is kind of different than these other guys that you listed off. Cause like, I think of Surtain and Quinn Miners, their offensive guard, like those are two young core building block, one on defense, one on offense. They're both still on their rookie contracts. They're going to get huge, huge paydays. Like we already know that they're going to get massive extensions, but right now they're on team friendly deals and they're very young promise. Like those are exactly the kind of guys you want on the roster for you to draft this rookie quarterback. And, you know, we're about to give them a bunch of money, but like they're young building blocks around our young rookie quarterback. And then we got to draft well in free agency going forward, or in free agency, we got to make smart signings, which George Payton has not done the last few years. They got to get better in free agency. They got to draft well, but someone like Surtain, obviously you want to keep him, you want to build around him. Simmons, like, It was sad to see him go because one, he is a great Bronco, and two, he's just a great person. Like he was amazing in the community, but he's turning 31 this year. He's going to be a free agent next year. They could save $14.5 million by cutting him. Nobody was going to trade for that contract. He's getting older. Like it's sad, but I get it. They needed money. Like we've talked about before on the podcast, Ryan, how, you know, sometimes you've kind of said like the salary cap's not real. And like, to an extent, I know what you mean. Like you can manipulate the salary cap a ton and you can make stuff work if you want to. But the thing is, the more you do that and the longer you do that, like the Saints did, now the Saints are in a mess. But at some point you get to a point where either you're just going to keep kicking the can down the road and you're just going to be mediocre, or you have to stop and you have to blow it up and you have to start fresh. And that's what the Broncos, I think, are doing right now. They're stopping. They're saying, okay, we're just blowing this up. We're just eating it all this year. In 2025, we're going to start fresh with the salary cap. But in order to do that, we got to part ways with Justin Simmons. We got to save $14.5 million. We're going to part ways with Jerry Jeudy. We're going to save like $13 million. And we're not going to have to give him that massive extension that the Browns gave him, which was just ridiculous. And like Josie Jewell, he's a good player, but we can't afford to re-sign him in free agency because we don't have the cap space. Lloyd Cushenberry, he had a very good year as a center in the last year, but we can't afford to re-sign him because of the cap space. Like, you can manipulate the cap, but at some point, you have to blow it up and start all over again, and that's what they're doing right now, in my opinion. Like, they haven't come out and said this, but just observing their roster moves, I think they're just blowing it up, starting fresh. This is a rebuilding year. they may not say that publicly. They might not come out and say, yeah, you know, in 2024, we're just going to rebuild, and then we're going to try to really go for it in 2025. Like, of course, they are going to try to win games this year. But these key starters, even Russell Wilson among them, that aren't coming back, I think they're just, you know, it's a reset in Denver. And honestly, like, the Broncos have needed a hard roster reset for a couple years now. Like, I love Justin Simmons, but he is getting older. He's expensive. Jerry Jeudy never lived up to the hype, never. And they just could not afford to pay him what he's now getting paid now. That doesn't make any sense. And Josie Jewell, he's fine, but he's not amazing. They can't give him a big contract. Like Lloyd Cushenberry, they have, you know, they just drafted a guy last year. It was in like the seventh round, but supposedly that was because of some injuries he had in college. And like, since the time they drafted him, and even more recently this offseason, they've spoken of him like he's a starter in the NFL. So they have, in theory, a fallback option at center, and they've got four other good offensive linemen. When you got four guys that are solid, I feel like you could, it's easier to plug in that fifth guy and still make it work. So yes, it's a bummer to lose all these pieces, but I think it's just, it comes to a certain point, especially like Wilson's contract is a big part of this. It just put him in such a big hole. You have to get out of that hole. You have to make some tough decisions, and parting ways with veteran guys, like, you just got to do it, and you just got to start fresh. Like Surtain and Quinn Meinerz, still very young, still very affordable. Like, those are the kind of guys you want to build around. Part of the reason you cut Justin Simmons now is so next year you can, you know, have a little bit of cap to roll over to give, you know, put a down payment for Pat Surtain's massive extension that's coming up. So yeah, like, if they trade up for a top quarterback and it takes Surtain to do it, that would be super sad. But I would understand if they're convinced they're getting a franchise quarterback. But hopefully they end up with their franchise quarterback and are able to keep someone like Surtain, because they are kind of blowing up the roster for guys that are older, guys that have huge cap hits, guys that just haven't panned out. Surtain doesn't fall into that category. So hopefully someone like him, someone like Quinn Meinerz, you team them up with, ideally, a rookie quarterback who's very promising this spring and would probably have some growing pains this year. But if you get a rookie quarterback, like, start half the season, and then next year you have like more than $90 million in salary cap space. Like I mentioned the Texans before, like, if you get the right QB, the right young quarterback, you can turn team around really quickly. So like, it really is possible. You know, this year may not be great, but 2025, they really could turn around quickly. I think if they get a rookie in, and like you said, even if he sits the whole year, if you just allow yourself to restart in 25, I really think there can be light at the end of the tunnel. But again, like I've said, I think this year fans should not have super high expectations.
Yeah, I feel that. No, I mean, I'm totally fine with the plan of bringing in a rookie and having him sit for a year while Jared Stidham gets steamrolled. Like, that's fine. Like, I'm fine with that plan. I'm totally, as long as there's a plan and it's not like, we're going to see if Stidham's our guy. Like, that would just drive me up a wall. Because we even though that's not true, that's what we would hear all season. But anyway, we'll get to that when we have to, John. After the draft, we'll find out, right? The salary cap stuff, I do think the salary cap is mostly, it's not completely fake, but it's mostly overblown by owners and GMs to justify them not wanting to pay people. I do feel like that's, every time they bring up the cap, I'd like, oh, please. Because, for example, the Buffalo Bills are in this horrible cap situation, but we just turned Josh Allen's base salary into a bonus and we just cleared 25 million. You know what I mean? Like, that thing is where it loses me, because I think that is ridiculous. But John, when you're paying your quarterback, former quarterback, $85 million in dead money, like real money over the next 2 years, yeah, you have yourself a unique cap situation that you have to navigate. So the Broncos were in this is when the cap is actually real, in a situation like this, when you mismanage it this poorly or mismanage it this much, you end up in this situation. But again, hopefully they can dig out of it. Hopefully they can come up with some type of plan. We're not sure what the plan is yet. Right now, it just looks like the plan's to suck, John, in 2024. So we'll see what happens there. A couple other notes since our last pod, you had talked a little bit about Christian Parker, who was a former now defensive backs coach for the Broncos. You thought he was a great candidate to potentially replace Vance Joseph as he wasn't back, but Vance is obviously still here and Christian Parker is not. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, he basically left in a lateral move. The Eagles made him their passing game coordinator, so technically it's kind of a promotion, but not really because the Broncos could have given him that same title. He just wanted to go reunite with Vic Fangio, and the Broncos, Sean Payton, didn't hold him back from doing that. And initially I was like, man, that is a huge bummer. I was like, I would much rather promote Parker to DC and fire Vance Joseph than lose Parker to the Eagles. So initially I was pretty, you know, disappointed about that, but then they hired Jim Leonard to replace him as their new defensive backs coach. And that, like, I hadn't even thought of that possibility. Leonard played safety in the NFL for a couple of years. He had a very short stint with the Saints. It may have only been in the offseason even, and he only had 1 year with the Broncos. He was just, I would say, an average NFL safety, but once he started coaching, he has risen up the ranks very quickly. He was a defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, and he was an interim head coach for them. And a lot of people thought he should have been a strong candidate for their head coach job, but that didn't end up happening. But he's already interviewed for defensive coordinator jobs in the NFL, ironically, one with the Eagles. And he interviewed for a defensive coordinator job with the Packers. The Packers even offered him the job, but he turned it down. So now he's in Denver just as a defensive backs coach. And it seems like he's the kind of guy that's way overqualified to be a position coach. So I wonder, like, is this already like a plan for down the road? Eventually, if Vance Joseph leaves or if he was fired or something, like, do they already have Leonard in mind as a future defensive coordinator? I don't know. I'm just dot connecting, and like, I could be wrong because I also thought Parker should have been a strong defensive coordinator candidate for them, and that obviously didn't happen. So take it for a grain of salt, but I think Leonard is definitely one to keep an eye on.
Yep, I like that. So we will definitely watch that. And then there is some Hall of Fame news. Another Bronco heading to the Hall of Fame in August. John, want to wrap up there?
Yeah, Randy Gradishar finally, like, long, long overdue. He led their Orange Crush defense. He took them to their first Super Bowl. They lost it, but, you know, you got to get there to lose it. And he was just a phenomenal player for them. Somebody that a lot of, you know, the older Broncos pundits that have been around for a long time and watched these great Broncos teams that played long, long before I was born. You know, Randy Gradishar was one of the greats from those teams, and he's finally getting into the Hall of Fame as a senior candidate. That will be in August, and the NFL hasn't announced the Hall of Fame game teams yet. It's possible that the Broncos could be picked for that because they've got Gradishar now as a representative, but I think it's probably not probable because they just played in that game in 2019, so it wasn't too long ago. I feel like the NFL would probably pick a team that hasn't played in it that recently, but I don't know. Like, we'll see. It should be any time now that the Hall of Fame game teams are announced. So the Broncos might be a candidate for that. And whether they play in the game or not, it's awesome that Gradishar is getting in.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully we get that extra preseason game because Jarrett Stidham needs all the reps he can get, John. He does. He needs all the work he can get. So I'm going to try not to overreact to where they're at quarterback, John, until we have the full picture for 2024. Okay. That's what I'm going to try to do over the next month as we get ready for the draft. But I think all we can do now, right, is just hone in on, I'm sure there's not going to be any exciting signings here coming up. There might be something going on there, but I think really it's what the Broncos are doing at these pro days. And again, the top 30 visits, the Zoom meetings, all that stuff. I know you guys compile that on Broncos Wire. You guys do a great job of doing that. I think that's what I'm going to be watching. I want to know what quarterbacks they're actually connected to and not what they're lying to people and trying to put out there in the media. I want to know who they're actually talking to and that thing. So that's what I'm most excited for over the next few weeks here.
Yep. And like you said, we'll be tracking all of that on Broncos Wire. So check out the site. And if you enjoy the podcast, please give us a positive rating and review on whatever platform you listen to it. Please subscribe to it. If you're just listening to this at the bottom of a post embedded, please look us up on a podcast platform and subscribe to the pod. That really helps us out. And we appreciate, you know, everyone listening. We're going to have a lot of draft coverage coming up here in the next month.
Yep. Looking forward to that as always. So for John Heath, I am Ryan O'Leary. As I said earlier, it's always great to be back on here for off-season episodes of the pod, and we'll have more coming up soon. We'll catch you next time.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.